Our scripture story this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke's community. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to them all, "Watch out. Watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then Jesus told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'Self, you have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?" This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Okay, fill in the blank. Time is money. Oh, this crowd knows that one. Been around the block. Well, not if you were W.K. Kellogg in 1930. It was then that he decided his cereal factory would move from 3 8-hour shifts to 4 6-hour shifts. Amidst the Great Depression, immediately there were 30% more jobs available at Kellogg. Now, Kellogg paid his 6-hour shift workers for 7 hours that first year, and for an 8-hour shift the second year. Productivity rose significantly, not just from new technology, but from new work incentives and these new hours. And when the U.S. Department of Labor surveyed the workers after a couple of years in this new shorter shift way, the workers overwhelmingly preferred the time from money that they might have received. Nothing could replace the time with family, for taking care of the home, for leisure and civic activities. Relationships and the freedom of time were more important than money. Now, after the Depression was over, Kellogg workers consistently voted to stay with the 6-hour shifts for the freedom it provided them. They did this for many decades. Time, indeed, is not money. In this morning's story from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is confronted by a man wanting money from an inheritance. And as he so often does, Jesus does not respond with a simple answer or even agree to be in the role he is asked to be in. He chooses instead to tell a parable about a rich man who is having a banner economic year. And this man says to himself, "I will tear down my barns and get bigger barns to hold it all. I'll never have to worry or be anxious. I'll have enough stuff, enough money." I think he was saying, "I'll be secure." But what money and goods can't buy him is time. His time for death comes, and all the money in the world will not give him more time. Jesus follows up this parable in Luke's gospel by telling people not to worry about their material security, and that worrying does nothing to make it happen. He does this by using the story of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, where neither birds nor lilies worry, yet they seem to do just beautifully. Somehow God and God's creation supports them. Now, a few weeks back, I talked about Sabbath from this pulpit and how it is a sacred exhale. On the seventh day, God exhaled. Indeed, we must exhale in order to fully inhale. Both are important, as I said, to the rhythms and cycles that make for vitality, vital life. But likewise, our vitality comes from the perspective that Sabbath time can bring. Now, after that sacred exhale, a different quality of time, a different quality of consciousness can be realized, where we can appreciate what is truly worthy, what true riches are. Illustration about time can be helpful here. So the Gospels and the letters we have in what we call so often the New Testament were written in Greek. And while the English translation can come out the same as simply time, Greek language can talk of both chronos, measured chronological time, like on a watch or a calendar, and it can also speak of kairos, God's time, sacred time. Kairos doesn't go in a straight line or even at an even pace. Kairos time is like the seasons, moving in cycles, dependent upon the relation of things to the whole, waiting until the time is fulfilled, as they say in Scripture, until its own conditions have come to be, until it is the ripe and right time. You can sense Kairos time by the way something feels, by the length of shadows, by color and shade, or by how soft or firm a fruit is in one's hand. Kairos certainly doesn't respond to our measured schedules or our personal plans and wishes. Kairos time cannot be bought. Now, Jesus says to not hoard things or to worry and be anxious. What I'm saying is there's something about Kairos time, allowing ourselves to be in this Kairos time, a kind of Sabbath time, that it means we have faith amidst the present unfolding of things. If we're in that kind of Kairos time, we rest in God. We let go of production time and getting more done or making it happen. We get out of social media and mass media cycles, the news cycle. We get out of those repetitive cycles of anxiety. Instead, we rest underneath the fruit tree and trust that things will ripen in time. We let go of obsessing about tomorrow's outcome and let ourselves be held by God in the now, releasing the anxiety and worry of tomorrow. What I'm saying is, in this kind of Kairos perspective, we remember and live not as chronos and commodity, but as a child of God, as a community of earth, a community of humanity. We remember our relationship to life and to each other and find gratitude and humility in that. This keeping of Sabbath time, whatever day or time you do that, can bring us into the quality of divine perspective, sacred rhythm, relation to the whole, to what is really important and deeply true from God's perspective. And this is important because this practice helps us resist the cultural flow toward busyness and distraction, toward narrow and limiting frames of reference where we no longer see the forest for the trees. Now, during World War II, the British wanted to know how they were doing in producing enough stuff to fight the war. They decided to measure the sum of all goods and services produced. They call this the gross domestic product. Very good, class. The GDP. The UN and the rest of the developed world followed along. Whenever we hear on the news that the economy grew by 2% or even shrunk, it's this measurement, of course, to which we are referring. And we all seem to cheer when it goes up, as if this is good for us all. But the GDP doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate between social activities. Indeed, you could make more bombs and build and staff more prisons, even clean up after disasters, and the GDP would go up. There could be more income inequality. The GDP could still go up. More is better as far as the GDP is concerned, and it is only more if it can be measured in money and more stuff in bigger barns. The GDP is not necessarily just or healthy, or as our story says, rich toward God. I mean, what about the things that money can't buy? They can't be measured that way. What about the effort of any volunteer or family member who takes the time and energy to care for the home, or to care indeed for another ailing family member, or to help a neighbor, or to serve the community? The GDP won't even recognize this, let alone put a value on it. Wayne Muller wrote a book that Pastor Jane Ann reminded me of called Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest. It references those who bemoan the quote-unquote lost values of society, and Muller notes that most of these lost values require time. Honesty, courage, kindness, civility, wisdom, compassion, these can only be nourished in the soil of time and attention and need experience and practice to come to harvest, says Muller. Keeping Sabbath time means then taking the time to honor and nurture these kinds of values. Now, let me be clear, money is of value, and chronological time that is related to money has its place. My time is paid for. I come here often to get things done. I give my chronological time. But it is keeping Sabbath time that can maintain our perspective, can keep us from forgetting the other kinds of value and time and rhythm that are not as valued by the capitalistic, individualistic, and materialistic society in which we live. This other way is Sabbath as perspective, helping remember the whole and what is truly of value in God's creation. Now, this morning, as our story suggests, one of the great interrupters of Kronos and business as usual is mortality, death. And it's on my heart and mind this morning because just last night we helped our 16-year-old cat take her last breath. With family gathered around and with many tears, we did the right thing to end her suffering. And it put us in a different sense of being and time. And just like that, and just as those humans nearing death will say, that transition moment with death put things in perspective. Bronnie Ware is an Australian nurse who spent several years working in palliative care, end-of-life care, caring for patients in the last 12 weeks of their lives. She put her observations into a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. She writes of the phenomenal clarity that people gain at the end of their lives. And she listed these 5 things as the things she heard the most in terms of regrets. 1, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. 2, I wish I hadn't worked so hard because I missed things with family, my children's growing up, time with my partner. 3, I wished I'd had the courage to express my feelings or process them. 4, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And 5, I wish I had let myself be happier. I didn't realize happiness was a choice. So I invite us all in this Lenten journey to look at our lives and see if there are practices that regularly connect us to what is deeply true, so we don't have these regrets. So we don't forget what is most important. Jesus called it being rich toward God. This is Sabbath as perspective. Practices of sacred exhale, but those that lead us to shifting our everyday habits of doing. Maybe it's practices of taking time off work or the to-do list. I love to-do lists. I have them all the time. This is not that. Maybe it's time away from mass media and social media and cell phones. Maybe it's rituals, prayers, or the daily worship, even if you have a home altar. Or maybe it's this right here and now, our weekly worship. Or maybe we even find ways to have Sabbath moments, short moments, a habit. Every time I do this, I will pause and exhale and remember what is truly important. Whatever it is, I invite us all to enter more deeply. A Sabbath time, a Sabbath quality, a Kairos time. It's like sitting on a mountaintop vista where we can see the big picture and wonder at it all. Where we can let go of our burdens and trust in the unfolding of this moment, no matter where our lives are. Where we can focus on relationship with creation, with God, with each other. Where we can value all those things that money can't buy and be grateful for the blessing of life. We can practice being in a Sabbath time that has a taste of God's time, that has a Sabbath perspective of what is truly rich toward God and is truly life-giving. Let's do that. Amen.